Billy. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
My wife Ivani and I are really blessed to be here
again, and we
we just came last week from a mission trip
from
Nicaragua, and it was just an awesome experience. I think it's this way. Okay. One, two, three. So it's gonna be difficult to but it will take us a lot of time to just share some of the things that God is doing around the world. And that's specifically during our last trip in Nicaragua. But God is at work. That I can tell you. God is doing tremendous and marvelous things around the world. And my prayer and my desire is that He will continue to do that in our midst. As we continue to focus on arise and build. And as we continue to expand God's kingdom and be inclusive. I love the vision about becoming an international church. I think that that tells a lot, especially here in Montgomery County, where we have such a diverse population, and I believe that God is guiding the vision team and Pastor Juan, and let's continue to pray for that. Let's continue to focus on that. I really, really want to encourage you to seek revival. I think that the slides that we have on the screen are the slides from the last sermon. And that's fine. I mean, you have time to look for the new ones if you have them. If not, what I want us to focus today is in the book of Nehemiah, the chapter that was read a few minutes ago, under the theme of revival. I know a little bit of the Chinese culture, a little bit. During my visit to China about 2 years ago, I kind of learned some of the things like JJ, thank you, ni hao, just a few words. But one of the things that I really love about Chinese culture is the quietness that you guys enjoy, and the silence and the focus that you want to keep when you come and worship. And I know that coming from a Latino, Hispanic culture myself, we are a little bit more louder than you guys. We just go nuts sometimes. But we're not going to do that here. What I just wanted to ask you one question, and I want you to raise your hand. That's all I want you to do. How many of you are longing for revival? Just raise your hand. That's all I'm asking. You do not even have to speak or go nuts like Hispanics go. How many of you guys want revival? I want. I desire, to be transformed in such a way that it will not be just only an emotional experience, but that it will be a transformation experience. And not only on a personal way, but also locally, and what about community-wise? What about nationwide? We really need to go back and look for that. revival, it's simply defined. It's the desire to ask God to visit us again. And it seems like there is a theological contradiction there, but there's not. God is omnipresent. That we know. Amen? So that means He's everywhere. But why, when we pray for revival, we ask, Lord, can you visit us again? Can you intervene in our midst and transform the way we're going and the way our nation is going? What we're saying is we want you, now that you are in our midst, to influence and to give us all that we need in order to experience you once again. So revival may take many forms and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, but almost always there are two main characteristics of how a spiritual transformation or revival has taken place in history and in time. And let me just say that right up front. Two things. That will be the outline of our sermon today. The first thing is that the reading and the explanation of God's Word in prayer brings forth a heart of worship and genuine desire. That's the first thing. If it's working? Yes. Reading and explanation of God's Word in prayer. Remember when Nehemiah got the report, chapter 1? And the report was devastated. It was kind of a sad experience that the walls of Jerusalem were destroyed and people were going through hardships and all kinds of miserable lives. And what was the first thing Nehemiah did? He went to pray. And he said, Lord, can you help us here, please? He prayed and he fasted and he did all kinds of what we call now spiritual disciplines. That's the first thing. When we read and God's Word, it's explained in a way that we all understand, our hearts melt. And all I want to do is to worship God. That's the first thing. A genuine obedience to God's Word. First thing. And then there's a second thing. Once we discovered what God's Word is telling us, then what we ought to do is to practice God's Word. And once we discover what is it that God's Word is telling me to change, then I need to go back and practice and obey what's being said or what's being taught to me. And the reason why I'm saying this is because we tend, as human beings, just to be hearers. And we love good preaching and good teaching. I do. I'm just like you guys. I love good teaching. I love good preaching. I love that. But there is a huge difference between knowing and being explained what God's Word is all about and doing it. And we know that James is the one who tells us, what you hear, you have to go out and do it. And do it. And do it. And I believe that chapter 8 of the book of Nehemiah tells us those two things. In this historical account, revival took place at Watergate. Not the kind of turmoil of sad situation that took place back in the 70s at Watergate in Washington, D.C. That has nothing to do with this kind of Watergate located in Jerusalem, that we will explain a little bit about that. So let's focus on the first thing, the reading and the explanation of the law. I'm not going to read the whole section here, but I want you to notice some of the things that I point out in my slides right there. That's name, Watergate, keep that in mind. And notice that in green, color green, repeatedly, there is the book of the law of Moses, the law before the assembly, and he continues, verse 3, read it, and then book of the law again, verse 4, teacher of the law, Ezra opened up the book, referring to God's word, and he opened it, again, verse 5, and then verse 7, instructed the people in the law, and then verse 8, book of the law of God. I mean, just in this section, look, and it continues in chapter, in verse 9, the words of the law, and then verse 12, finished by saying, because they now understood the words that have been made known to them. I want you to notice a few things here. If you go back home as a way of devotional, and I want you to keep this in mind. The heads of each family, that means the leaders and the servants and the Levites, specifically focus on reading and explaining God's word. In this section, 13 times, God's word, law of God, instructed in the book, appeared. And the location and the time and the participants of this whole, what I call transformation revival, took place. The location is very important. Verse 1, verse 3, and verse 5 talks about that. It is a long history that goes all the way back when Jehovah God took the form of a fire and clouds in order to protect and lead the people of Israel after they were liberated from Egypt. We all know the history about that. And he asked Moses to build up a tabernacle. And he gave him very specific instructions from chapter 35 all the way on. And once the tabernacle was built, there was a very specific place that it's called Holy of Holies, where God was going to dwell among the people of Israel. It was going to be the very presence of God. I don't know how you pronounce it, but people go either way, Shekinah or Shekinah of God. That means the very presence of God in the Ark of the Covenant was going to be kind of a tangible way. And the bread of the preposition, Moses' staff, and the law, the book again, was placed there. God's word was placed there. And it took place in the square. The word gate, it's very important. Why it's important? Because I believe that the location for revival, it's important because it talks about the reality of life and time. We are located in Gettysburg as a church. And God sometimes, in his sovereignty, pick and choose the people that he wants to use. He did it with Israel. And he has done it throughout history. And we know that sometimes, even though we don't understand this, but some churches are experiencing such a tremendous revival, and things are being experienced, miracles are taking place, people are being transformed, etc. But right across the street, there is a church that is dying and they are struggling. Those are the things that we don't understand. Why here it's happening, something is happening, and here it's not. And I believe that it has to do more with the obedience, and it has to do with the location in terms of commitment and in terms of obedience, back again to that key word. And here, the Watergate talked to us about the cleansing work of the Word of God in us and through us. John chapter 15 tells us about it. And also Ephesians chapter 5 tells us about it. And the location here, the Watergate, I think it's right here. That's the gate. It is important here, the location, because here is where they were provided the water, not only to clean themselves and clean the animals that are going to be offered and sacrificed, but also the water that will help to produce vegetables and fruits and all that. And we will see that in just a few minutes. Also, Watergate was a place of justice and was a place where oath were taken. So that's chapter 9. But we're not going to do that because we don't have time. So location is important when it comes to transformation revival. Time and participant. Why time? Because the Bible says that since the time of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, verse 17, the Israelites have not celebrated like this. And the Bible says that it was a great joy when they celebrated. So people also are very important here. Why? Because that's what God is going to be using. I know God can use an animal. He did it. He used a donkey in the Old Testament to speak. But most of the time and throughout history, God wants to use us as His people. And Ezra is called to ministry God's word. And he makes a call to worship. And then he goes on and explained God's word. Not only his ministry and he calls to worship, but he also explained it. And restoration took place at that moment, which is the second part of our sermon today. After we are instructed and we are called to obey God's word, the very natural result, I think, the end result of that will be that we want to be a people that obeys God with all of our hearts, and that we will love Him like never before, and that we will get into this intimate relationship. The more we read and understand God's word, the more we will understand God's mind and God's heart for us. And the more we will be prompted to respond. So restoration takes place in the verses that were read before. The common denominator continues on words of the law written, verse 15, proclaim this word and spread it. And then verse 17 and 18 finished with a book of the law of God again. So this is very important that we all understand that if we want revival, we need to go back to God's Word. Revival is not the result of activities or programs. Revival is not the result of feelings and emotions, because feelings and emotions goes up and down. And circumstances sometimes shape the way we behave. If I lost $1,000 yesterday, I'm going to be sad because I don't have money to pay my rent. Circumstances will shape the way we behave. So we cannot trust in our own strength or abilities or even our emotions. We need to go back to something that is solid and that is stable. And we need to go back to God's Word to experience transformation. What they did is that they practiced God's Word. And they observed, they understood the Word, and they were illuminated. That's a word that we use in theology. God's Word was, first of all, inspired. That was the spoken Word of God through His disciples, His apostles mainly, and prophets. And then we have revelation. How was it revealed? It was revealed through a dream sometimes, and sometimes they went through crazy experiences, and they understood that God was speaking to them, and so they wrote it. And then we have illumination. Illumination is the activity of the Holy Spirit to make us understand what we are reading. And that has happened to me before. Sometimes I'm just reading this verse and I don't understand what it's about. And then I go back and do my chores and then come back to the same verse and continue not to understand what it's about. I continue to pray, Lord, help me to understand. And then all of a sudden, some other days, boom, light come. Illumination comes. And I say, oh my gosh, I missed it. How could I miss this? And then I get transformed or reshaped in my walking with the Lord. Notice that in verse 8, the word clear, it's a key word. And the Hebrew is paras, and it means to make distinct or interpreted. So they interpret God's Word. In this context, it might mean that they translated God's Word. Because some of them spoke Aramaic or Hebrew, but they did not understand really the Word of God that was written, we believe, originally in Hebrew. So it was translated. Since most of these congregants were second or even third generations, they were instructed, and as a result of that instruction, they found out that they had forgotten something that it was very unique in terms of sacrifices and in terms of obedience. And so they repented, and they came, and revival at that point took place, which is one of the second things that I share when it comes to revival. We will never ever experience revival, which is revival transformation, revival I'm talking about. We will never experience that unless we acknowledge that we have disobeyed God's Word. Unless the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts through God's Word, telling us what is it that we need to repent? What are the things that we forgot that are written in God's Word? And somehow, down the road, we forgot and we're not doing it right. And this has been very constant and consistently throughout history. Josiah, for example, in 2 Kings, told us about the reforms that he brought about. And he turned down all the idols that the people of Israel has built. And he said, this is not right, we need to turn down these idols, and boom, revival took place. The Dark Ages brought about the lack of knowledge of God's Word during those days was very sad. People did not know what God's Word was all about. And then Martin Luther came about and around others in that century, 16th century, and he said, we need to go back to the Scripture. And that's how the term solo scriptura came about. Solo faith, only Scriptures. Those terms that he used, we need to recover those things, and then the Reformation took place. And the greatest weakness that we as believers and Christians experience at all levels, from top to bottom, is the lack of teaching God's Word appropriately. That's why we are challenged as leaders to teach the whole counsel of God. We can not only teach about God's love and forget that there is also judgment. We cannot teach about God's eternal security in Jesus Christ, about heaven, but also eternity in hell, separated from God completely. I mean, it has to be a balance, and it has to be the whole counsel of God. We need to teach all the counsel of God. They obey and they experience revival. And the Feast of Tabernacle was celebrated. And that Feast of the Harvest and the Feast of bringing all the fruits at the gate and sharing God's blessings, Numbers chapter 29, Leviticus chapter 23, and so on and so forth. And what they did that day was that they built up little huts around the gate, and they all gathered together, and hundreds of people came, and that was a great feast when they gathered and celebrated God's goodness and provision and protection by recovering a great feast that they had forgotten, the tabernacle, the fruits, the provision of God for them. So let me conclude with three specific things that I want you to keep in mind. The first one is, in the context of Nehemiah, God's Word played a crucial role for revival. In our time, Gettysburg Chinese Alliance Church, what it's playing a crucial role for us to experience a rebuilding or arising to build again. What is it? Is it prayer? And if it is prayer, I commend you to keep it up. Is it fasting? Maybe we need to go back and fast. Is it God's word? What is God telling us today? Because this is history. This took place long, long time ago. What does that have to do with us today? Well, it's the same word of God. This is what we're preaching today. This is God's word from Genesis to Revelation. How God's word is transforming your life in your personal walking with the Lord. How is God's word reshaping your character and the way we behave? That's the key word. So in that context, yeah, God's word played a crucial role for revival. At the beginning, when I asked the question, how many of you guys want revival? Some of you raised up your hand. Some of you, you just will keep it by myself, and that's fine. My challenge to you is, yes, I want revival. And maybe the first thing that I need to do is to go back and say, Lord, speak to my heart. Okay? I need to hear from you. Right deep in my heart, in my mind, I want your word to be that very thing that will transform me from inside out. The second thing that I want to leave with you is that the leaders are called to lead by serving, by teaching, and explaining God's word. I mean, we all are accountable to respond correctly to God's word. But if you are a leader and you were given more, the Bible says that you will be accountable twice as much. Leaders need to immerse in God's word and know how to teach God's word. I praise the Lord for the leaders that I had in my life and taught me God's word. I praise the Lord for my father, who went to be with the Lord a long time ago, but ever since I was a child, he taught me God's word. I used to memorize very well back in those years. And so I remember that I had not even gone to elementary school, and I already knew big chapters of God's word. Isaiah chapter 53 by memory. Psalm 23 by memory. Psalm 90 by memory. So Sunday school teachers, fathers and mothers, have you forgotten about the family devotionals, or what we used to call back in the years, the family altar, the altar family, early in the morning before we all go to school? Maybe we need to start from there. And you know, when I left the church during my teenage, I come back to God and I come back to the church. You know why? Because the most consistent thing that I remember during the time of disobedience was God's word. I knew deep in my heart that I was not obeying as I should. And God's word was the very thing that prompted me to respond one day when I come back and surrender my life to God. And finally, you know, it's not only that we want a revival, and I desire a revival, but also God desires to dwell among us. He wants to be, I mean, going back to the same theological thought, he is omnipresent. And we all know that, and the Bible teaches us that he is here. Amen? By virtue of who he is here. But when we use God's presence in our midst again, and dwelling among us again, what we're saying is we want him to be real. In the sense that he is all powerful. And that he knows it all. And that all that I need to do is to immerse my life back again in him. It was Jesus who says that whosoever believeth in me, in his life, rivers of life will run through. He was talking about the living water because he is the living water. And that's what we need. He is the living water. So I don't know if you are thirsty, emotionally, spiritually, academically, that's fine, being thirsty. Hunger to get to know God's word. I don't know. I was. And I'm still. Because this is a wonderful thing. We will never, ever, ever, ever understand 100% God's word. It's so deep that a little kid can jump into like a swimming pool and never touch the bottom part of the pool. But in the meantime, to swim in a way that he will never get drowned. That's how deep God's word is. Let us pray. I don't know what will be your response as a head of your family, or as a leader, or as a part of this church. But I responded a long time ago, and I continue to be challenged to change. And so all I want to do at this time is just to pray for you and join you in prayer. If you want to respond today, and I don't know what part of a sermon or what I share with you touched your heart or prompted you to think. And if you want to go even beyond just to hearing and understanding what was preached today, and respond by saying, I want to practice this very thing that God spoke to my heart today, that will be the very right response for you today. It might be just one small thing for you to remember the things that you have forgotten in your spiritual journey and retake that again and go back to the simple. Simple. Yet deep in our intimacy and our relationship with the Lord. Raise your hand if you are on the same page or page where I'm at this point. May God bless you. Lord bless you. I see hands up. Praise the Lord. There are some young people responding. Would you respond as well? Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to join you in prayer, actually, because God knows your heart. You know, from here I can see your hands, but God can see your hearts, and that's even better. That's even great. So let's keep it up, church. Let's continue to rise, and let's continue to build. And let's do it grounded in the Word. Let's do it by going back to the simple things that we have forgot. Father, I want to join to this group of brothers and sisters who raised their hands. Because just like me, Lord, I'm thirsty. I want more of you. I'm sick and tired of the status quo and coming and just sit down and listening and go back home and nothing happened. So, Father, we ask your forgiveness. Because in some areas, I might be disobeying you, Father. And so, Father, as we read your word and as we understand your word, thank you for convicting me of those sins that I have committed. And Lord, I ask your forgiveness again. And I join my brothers and sisters who are raising their hands today and maybe praying the same prayer, just like Nehemiah did. Your people and I have committed sin, Nehemiah says. And he begged for forgiveness. And he begged for restoration. And restoration took place. And that revival at Watergate in chapter 8 is just a glimpse of what you did back in those days. And so, Lord, just as they experienced this wonderful revival in doing again what they have forgotten, we want to do and experience the same thing. The same God they worshipped is the same God we're worshipping today. The same word that they explained that back in those years, it's the same word that we have today. And the prophet Isaiah says that your word will never come empty. That it will always do that thing that you send it for, whatever you send it for. Father, we pray that your word may continue to be preached and proclaimed as it is. And that anything that we may experience might be founded and fundamented in your word. So our prayer simply is this, Lord. We invite you again in our midst. We want to see you. We want to experience you and you alone. Our prayer is simply this, Lord. We want to obey you and you alone. Our prayer is simply, Lord, this. We repent and confess. And we take whatever we forgot up to this point. And we do it again. For your honor. For your glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.